Thank you, Joseph. I'd like to request we hold all questions until the end of all of our talks, please. Our next presenters are a series of three folks, and I will be letting them introduce themselves. We'll be starting with Kimberly.
Hi, just quickly, I do want to disclose that myself and my co-presenters do not have any financial relationships to disclose. My name is Kimberly Homer-Vagadori, and I work with an organization here in California called the California Youth Advocacy Network, and we are funded by the Prop 99 tobacco tax to work with all colleges and universities in this state who are addressing any tobacco-related issue within their population. We also received some new funding from the American Legacy Foundation to take the work that we've done with academic funding, industry funding of academic research on our University of California system to a national level to start addressing that issue throughout universities throughout the country. And part of the work that we do, for the most part, with the exception of our work at the University of California system, has been very student-led by our COF Coalition, which is a group of student advocates throughout California who have partnered together to be empowered to do work on their college campuses. To quickly note, our work has focused since 1998 on policy. We do education and we do promote cessation, but the majority of our work has been done on policy. Looking at college campuses, we do address smoking, and we do realize that young adults have a high smoking rate, and in California, it's the highest of any other age group. We also recognize that there is a new initiation rate. The rate has changed from where 90% of people started smoking before the age of 18 to now more people over the age of 18 are starting to smoke. And research from the University of California at San Francisco also shows that a lot of young adults are actually becoming addicted during the time between 18 and 24, not just between the or before the age of 18. And while we do think that tobacco use is an extremely important issue, we also look at the tobacco industry's relationships with our college and university campuses. So a lot of our work is focused on smoke-free policies, which we'll talk about today within our California State University system, but we've also done work on corporate relationships and sponsorship and advertising on campuses. And I would say of this list, the one that we found, at least here in our state, that our campus administrations care most about is cigarette butt litter. And we have a big move for our campuses to go green and be sustainable. And that's a message that really seems to be working with the population. So when we started to look at college campuses, again, this was in probably 2003, we started to see that tobacco was everywhere. It wasn't just the use of tobacco, but it was the sale of tobacco, it was advertising, it was sponsorship, it was in the Greek system, it's in college rodeos, it's in academic research. It really was everywhere. And as much as I want to say there's one policy that can take care of it, there just isn't. There's First Amendment rights when it comes to advertising in campus newspapers. There's faculty issues when it comes to academic research. There's all sorts of problems when it comes to rodeo sponsorship and fraternity sponsorship and who has control to do what. So what we try to do is promote policies that will have the strongest impact and the ones that we can do the best for the campuses. And what we're finding is there really is a trend with the campuses and where they're going. For example, in 2002, all we talked about was smoke-free policies. At that time, California had a lot of money to fund work with young adults. Unfortunately, that money isn't really in existence anymore, but at the time we did. And so we focused on our California State University system. And we got a group of just dedicated students together to go to the California State Board of Trustees and ask them to make a recommendation to their campus presidents to create a policy. At that time, the CSU system had full control over their smoke-free policies, and the campus presidents were not allowed to make their own policies. Again, we got a group of dedicated students together. They came up with a COF coalition, and they won their policy campaign in 9 minutes. They got the Board of Trustees to give power back to the campus president and made a recommendation for a 20-foot policy, which at the time was the only outdoor evidence we had, which is why it was 20 feet. In 2004, the students came back and said, we have a problem with sponsorship within the university. And so we went back to the Board of Trustees, and in 2007, they adopted the first system-wide policy to prohibit tobacco industry sponsorship on all 23 campuses within the CSU system. And then we worked in 2004 to 2007 on academic funding or academic research at the University of California, which is a continued battle, one that we'll keep fighting, but we did get some leeway there. And the focus locally has been on smoke-free policies, and this is true to this day. We do have close to 500 institutions of academic or of higher education in California. 142 of those are community colleges. Those are two-year institutions that are all publicly owned. We also have the CSU system, which is 23 campuses, and the UC system, which is 10 campuses, and then private and independent schools. We focused our work on the public systems just because we can go to the leadership there and do a 10-campus campaign at one time or a 23-campus campaign at one time. The private and independents, they're all owned by them, their own ownership, so it's a one-by-one-by-one campus, which has been a little bit challenging to impact. And when we talk about smoke-free policies, we've run into a lot of issues with public safety on campus, different things. And so when we define smoke-free, it really is the policy that works best for the campus. I want to say 100% smoke-free is best, and that is ideal. But in some situations, it's just not plausible right now because we don't have funding to give any campus to do work. So this is all campus-based work that people are doing. And so what we're supporting, and it's, again, a new trend, is that transition from going to designated smoking areas and then transitioning it off campus. And if you have a chance, there's some people from UC San Francisco here today who did that approach. They went to designated areas. They're going 100% smoke-free on November 20th, and they're the first institution of higher education, public four-year institution here in California, that is completely smoke-free. So just to give you a look at California, right now we have 6 campuses that prohibit tobacco use. These are all tobacco use policies. They're not comprehensive. This is a tobacco use policy. We have 6 all community colleges that are 100% tobacco free, 5 that are 100% smoke free, 16 that are smoke free with the exception of parking lots or designated parking lots, and then a lot more that have designated areas. You'll note the trend that our 2-year campuses are going smoke free and tobacco free a lot quicker than our 4-year public institutions, and we're now starting research with private, so I don't have that data up here today. However, it is important to note that our 4-year institutions are starting to move in that direction, and that I literally change this list weekly because campuses are going smoke-free on a much quicker basis. And just to share, the way that we do a lot of our advertising and marketing on campus is really positive. This was when the CSU system adopted their sponsorship policy, and we wanted to make it a positive image instead of making it really negative and we're crazy tobacco control zealots, but really to say that our institutions are making very positive steps into the future. So thank you.
Good morning.
I'm Kathleen Young, and I'm at one of the CSUs. We have 23 campuses in California. And I started our committee in January under the auspices of CYAN and Kim's work. So I'm going to just share with you. I tried to make this applicable, so those of you that are thinking about starting a tobacco committee or to revise or look at your policies to see where we are in the first phases of this initiative, and I hope it will be of some benefit to you. Cal State Northridge is a campus of 30,000. It's extremely diversified. The policies, as Kim has noted, throughout the entire CSU is up to anywhere from 15 to 20 feet from the building. What we found out at Cal State Northridge was that it's one thing to have a policy, but then it's also to see how it's enforced. And so the committee that I'm working with is looking at the current policies and how it's being enforced. I can't emphasize enough to you how important it is for you to align yourself to an advocacy group before you try to do any type of initiative on campus. So what we did was, and what's interesting is I put here the CSUN Smoke-Free Task Force. We spent months, and some of my students are here, deliberating on whether we would be tobacco-free versus smoke-free and the political emphasis that would happen if we followed one over the other. So what we did in February of 2008 is we met with Kim. I met with Kim for months and asked her, this is what I want to do and what do you think the process should be. So we're following, which Kim might be able to show you after the presentation, the CYAN College Advocacy Guide Campaigning Organizing, which is a Building Successful Advocacy Campaign on Campus. It's a very strategic book that she designed solely on her own through CYAN, and we are following it as a Bible. So we're at phase one, which is the assessment investigation. My dream is to go to the provost's office and have 1 to 2 years of investigative work and have it be student-driven and student-led, that this is coming from a student need and a student concern. So in phase one, we spent a lot of time with Kim, and we are currently working, we've just developed our mission statement, we've just developed the name of our committee and our goals and objectives. And again, something that I want to share with you is that I contacted Kim as well as investigating other policies in the CSU and UC system to see if we could modify and adopt instead of reinventing the wheel. So in phase one, we created our committee. And again, the emphasis that I want to leave you with is that it is very student-driven and student-led. And then we developed our mission statement, goals, and objectives, which we just completed. And that took 6 months, by the way, just to do that. Also in phase one, we developed various types and levels of campus assessment tools, and some of my students are here, where we're going out and looking at cigarette pollution. One of the things that we're doing right now is we have a Go Green campaign that's happening on campus, and I would like our committee to align themselves with this Go Green so that we can, again, adopt with another organization on campus to say, here's yet another reason that we want to attempt to go smoke-free, as it will enhance any of the environmental issues that are being led on campus. And then we also, which I'm going to show now, is we did some of our investigative work. And the reason that I'm showing some pictures that are very good and some that we're in our first phases, but it's a learning process. And what's critical is that we're showing here, which some of you will see and some of the pictures are better, that we're not obviously, it's not being enforced at the 20-foot rule with our high-tech measuring tape. And because we haven't gone public yet at the provost office, I X'd out the names of our halls. So if you're from CSUN, but again, we're just trying to show how it's, whether it's being enforced or whether it's not being enforced. And one of the things that's really cute with my students is that we want to obviously catch people that are standing right next to the building. And how do we do that with it still looking in a natural form? We'll be collecting this information for approximately a year. So again, these are just some photos. And then also in phase one, we have developed, in addition to some of the subcommittees, we are in the process now of developing a university-wide study where we will sample faculty, staff. Staff is critical, meaning your janitorial staff all the way up through your clerical staff, and students, about the current policies at CSUN and whether they know what they are, how they're enforced, and if they would like their campus to go smoke-free. And we're just in the process of doing reliability and validity testing and our instrumentation on this. We also conducted an asset mapping. I teach a community health action course and talk about it's just a joy to work with these students. As some of you that are tenure track faculty, the committee work that we have to do, this is the most enjoyable and meaningful committee I've ever worked on in my career, watching these young people take something of staring at each other to actually we have developed into something very meaningful. And so we went out and working with Kim, we're trying to find other alignments. And I put here that working with Kim, we also were looking at key informants and stakeholders. This is critical, not only to locate these people, but when you will approach them. If we had approached them last January, and so we're starting this committee, and we didn't know what we were doing, and we didn't have our mission, goals, and statements, we would have lost those people. We now strategically know what we're doing, we have a plan, we have our phases, and we know when we will want to ask different entities in the campus and in the community to join on our committee. So I put who and when to ask for individual and or entity participation is critical for those of you that are thinking of possibly doing this. Presently, we're working on the following subgroups I talked about, so we're just trying to gather as much evidence as we can, and as Kim and other colleagues have mentioned, it's about cost effectiveness. We also think it's critical to be able to provide or at least identify that services for smoking cessation for the campus community as well. So we're creating partnerships and developing the CSUN research study. And then in phase two, which we will start after the semester break, we will be, again, trying to adopt other types of entities. We're working with the Tarzana Treatment Center, which is the largest substance abuse center, in aligning ourselves with partnerships. So we finalized our goals for year one and two, and we're working on the second aspect of that. So in conclusion, it's so critical for you to, I put here, locate your state and or local university tobacco advocacy organization and work with them. I can't emphasize that enough to you. We never would have been to the place that we are now if it hadn't been for Kim and CYAN, and we never would have been in the format. I feel very confident that as we approach the provost's office, my goal is the fall of 09, that we will have the work of a deposition. I really feel that we will have a comprehensive approach in addressing and going to the powers that be. So develop a plan through your advocacy organization's direction and support, and do this before you develop your committee. And just begin the process. I put, the rest will politically urge its place. Thank you.
Okay, I have 3 minutes. Good morning. Okay, thanks. Yeah. So I'm just going to give you a brief overview of some of the challenges and successes that my group encountered while working on this policy from 2006, August 2006 through May 2008, which is when I was a student at San Jose State University. So I took on this issue as a student. I saw it as an opportunity to directly apply what I was learning in the classroom to my part-time position as a peer health educator at the Student Health Center. So my role was to focus on tobacco issues and stress management. So in addition to doing education and cessation, I felt that a campus policy would be an effective way to promote health at the institutional level. So just to tell you a little bit about San Jose State, so our current policy is there's no smoking in buildings and no smoking within 25 feet of buildings. And this policy was passed in 2003 by the Academic Senate, which is comprised of faculty, staff, and students, and it was signed by the president. Okay, so, and I just wanted to give a little bit of background on the inspiration for founding the Smoke-Free Policy Committee, which was founded in January of 2007. So basically, the energy and positive feedback that we got from an event that we did in November of 2006, the Great American Smokeout, really encouraged us to form this committee. So the event was sponsored by the Student Health Center, CYAN, the California Youth Advocacy Network, as well as Colleges Against Cancer, and it was an event that encouraged smokers to quit for the day or to quit for good, and it also celebrated non-smokers. So at this event, we collected 250 signatures for a smoke-free campus policy, and we really got a chance to talk to students and ask them about their ideas and opinions about going smoke-free. And they were very excited and energized and really wanted an avenue for getting involved. So that's when we founded the committee. And it also provided a sustainable effort so that things could move forward. As students graduated, new students could move into the committee, and so it provided continuity and sustainability. So some of the challenges that we experienced, so one really huge challenge was that the chair of the Academic Senate was not willing to put this on the agenda at the Senate meetings for a discussion item. So before we could actually do that, we had to take it to the Associated Students, which was the student governing body, and they really wanted data. So they wanted data on student attitudes and opinions for a smoke-free campus, and they really wanted us to do an assessment. So another challenge was that many administrators that we spoke to said that they were in support of helping us with our efforts, but didn't have the time to actually attend the meetings. So So that was a huge challenge. Also, there was definitely a lack of understanding of the issue, and a lot of administrators felt that this policy was not a priority for the campus. So I only have one. So one of our successes was that in the spring of 2007, the health center participated in the National College Health Assessment. So one of the health educators at the health center informed me that they were going to be doing a supplemental survey, and they were going to be adding 10 questions to the survey. So we were able to add a question about a smoking ban, and the survey was given in random classrooms. We collected 529 surveys. And the results showed that 64.5% of students agreed or strongly agreed that smoking should be prohibited everywhere on campus. Oh my God. And then this is just a timeline of our efforts, 2007 and 2008. And then in terms of successes, one thing that I just want to highlight really quick is that we were able to partner with the graduate level data analysis class to conduct an assessment of stakeholder attitudes. So as part of graduate level requirements, students must complete a project where they collect and analyze data. So the policy committee was able to create a partnership with the applied data analysis course to conduct an assessment of about 10 stakeholders' attitudes on going smoke-free. So this included staff and faculty unions, student groups that experienced disproportionately high rates of smoking and high burden of disease from tobacco use, the Academic Senate, campus police, student affairs, campus facilities, neighborhood associations in the surrounding areas, and other campuses that have smoke-free policies. So each student in the class was responsible for one stakeholder and was able to do qualitative and quantitative analysis on this in the form of surveys and key informant interviews. And then we were able to host a community forum where we presented our data to the campus community. Also, I just want to say one other thing, is that as part of our efforts, we developed fact sheets, we developed a PSA, also a PowerPoint presentation, and a video. And so I just wanted to get a sense of, do people here work, does anyone work in college tobacco policy advocacy? Okay, so if you want to email me, I'm happy to share with you the resources that I've developed. So thanks.